Hi, I'm Than Bennett. Thank you for listening to The Equipped. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thank you for giving and for sharing with a friend. Widespread protests on college campuses, nearly $100 billion of foreign aid, and impeachment charges are dismissed. How can you and I, as Jesus followers, interact with each of those stories through the lens of the true and the beautiful? That is the question today on The Equipped. Welcome into the broadcast. I am your host, Than Bennett, and I am so glad that you are here. If you are new to our community, I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you to hop on over to theequippednewsletter.com and add your email address to get the newsletter into your inbox each and every week. That newsletter, that version actually supplements this broadcast because it gives you resource documentation. It gives you an image to hold in your mind as we talk about the beautiful at the end of the broadcast. And we want you to be a part of our community. We are a community that works to interact with difficult stories of our day through the lens of the true and the beautiful, and to bring the power and the redemption of the gospel of Jesus Christ into those stories. And so we do that through a newsletter, we do it through this broadcast, and we would love it if you would be a part of our community. Just hop on over to theequippednewsletter.com, add your email address, and join us in that way. Before we get to those headline stories, though, we always start by standing on truth, and we close our broadcast each and every week by turning to something that is beautiful in our world. That beautiful segment is entitled Hold Tightly This Week. But the true this week is involves the sameness of our God, the consistency of character of our God, the unchanging nature of who He is, and dealing with the question that shouldn't be boring. That should actually be exhilarating and life-giving and life-changing. And so we're going to take a look at that concept this week, and we're going to specifically apply it to the way that you and I walk out our daily lives. So that we're going to turn to that right now on The True. There is a divine pattern in Scripture that really should revolutionize the way that you and I live out our daily lives, and it goes something like this. God speaks, it happens, repeat. And there is a tendency, because our God is unchanging in nature, to sort of be lulled to sleep about this concept and about how it carries dynamic power and really the very essence and character of our God. You and I are hardwired to sort of associate the terms and the concepts of unchanging and sameness and associate them with a set it and forget it mindset is what I would call it. You know, we know that God is good, and we know that that is never going to change. And so we sort of categorize that in our minds as true and then tend to more or less tune it out because it doesn't require our attention. But when we do that, we short-circuit the actual realization of one of the most exhilarating characteristics of our God and the fact that He wants to play out in our lives. And that is the characteristic that if He did it before, then He remains focused on it today, and we can expect Him to do it again. Let me back this up with a little bit of Scripture. First, let's turn to Hebrews 13:8. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So this is that sameness, that unchanging consistency, the characteristic of God that does not change. Revelation 1:8 describes our God as the one who is and who was and who is to come. So there's a consistency of character that can be counted on. And when He speaks or when He moves in power, that word or that action actually come together to form the very nature of His character, and it's a way that He can reveal that character to us. And so we can look to the mighty acts and the mighty works that God has done in the past for evidence of what He wants to do today and in the future. This theme is woven all throughout Scripture. I wrote about it in my book, My Fame, His Fame. The story of Habakkuk is a beautiful illustration of this. But this is one of the ways that we interact in a tangible way with who God is and how we get to know that character that is consistent and unchanging. There is a song by Elevation Worship, and I have actually linked to it in the newsletter version of The Equipped. You can find it at theequippednewsletter.com. And I actually want to encourage you to do something. If you are listening to the radio broadcast after the show, I would like you to go into the newsletter version, click on the link, and worship together with Elevation Worship. If you're listening by podcast, I actually want you to pause right now. I want you to pause right now, pull up the newsletter version, click on this link, worship along with them, and then return to consider a few of the examples that the lyrics of their song, Another One, brings to mind. I'm not going to go through all of them on the broadcast version. I want you to meditate on those through the newsletter version. But let me just give you a few of the examples that that Elevation Worship depicts. They say, "He told the sun to rise, it did, and it will again. He told the storm to be still, and it was. And he wants to again still the storms in your life. He told the sea where to split, it did, and he will again make a way in your life. He told the walls to fall and the chains to break, and they did, and he wants to again tear down division in your life, and he wants to again set you free from what binds you." But here's where it gets really good. Here's where it gets life-changing and life-giving. He told the bones to come alive, he told the stone to roll away, and he told the grave to loose its hold. And here's the thing, they did. The stone rolled away, the grave loosed its hold, and he breathed life into the bones that came together. And because of his unchanging character, because he is consistent, because he does not change, his very nature today, in the here and now in your life, it's aimed at conquering death with life. And I can't think of anything less boring or more life-changing than anticipating that he wants to do that again, and he will do that very thing again in you and in your life. And so this week, as we talk about what is true, I want you to make it personal. I want to invite you to seek his face and to ask him in a very real way, what part of his unchanging character does he want to demonstrate again and anew in your life? What word has he given you in the past, or what work has he done either in you or that you have seen him do in others that he might want to do again in you and through you today in the here and now? And I want to be real with you for just a moment. I want to really encourage you to truly ask him, to truly be on your face before him and ask him to reveal to you what it is that he has done in the past that he wants to do again. Look, this is not, and I want to repeat, it is not about using God's character as a wish list for your life. In fact, it is the very opposite. It is about cultivating a desperation to know who God is. It's about intentionally growing deeper in the knowledge of who he is and what he longs to do based on what he has already done. And then once he reveals that to you, it's about aligning your life in a way that is eagerly anticipating and believing in the consistency of his character that he will do it again. Can you imagine anything less boring than learning to identify the voice and the character of your God and your Creator and doing it in order that you can place yourself in the path of what he is going to do? Placing yourself in the path of what he is going to do, that so that that mighty work will sweep you up and will sweep you into his mighty plan. Friends, as we close the true for today, I've got to tell you, this one will change your life if you will take hold of it and if you will hold tightly to it. Because if your God did it before, he is going to do it again. And if you will place yourself in the path of what he is going to do again, you will forever be changed. Widespread protests related to the war between Israel and Hamas are ongoing and spreading across college campuses in the United States. It is our leading story of the week. It's dominating the headlines. And the reason we're leading with it is because this is a difficult conversation to have. And we want to pick out the difficult conversations to have so that we can navigate them with grace and humility and the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. The protest at Columbia University in New York City was particularly intense. It actually involved a Jewish professor being denied access to campus. There were more than 100 pro-Palestine protesters who were arrested, and the university president was actually called before the United States House Committee on Education and the Workforce to testify. If you will remember, a few months back, a couple of university presidents were actually forced to resign as a result of similar situations occurring on their campus. So we will see how that particular aspect plays out in this situation. Now, when we consider how we should interact as Jesus followers with these stories, there's both an analysis component and also an eternal perspective. I've actually given quite a bit of analysis in the newsletter version of The Equipped. You can find it at theequippednewsletter.com. We don't have time to get into all of it here on the broadcast, but a couple of things I do want to point out. First of all, there are two competing, not competing truths, they're complementary truths, but at first glance, they seem contradictory to each other. And number one is, it is essential to the foundation of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that unpopular and even vile speech, which I would constitute much of what we're seeing on these campuses as vile speech, but it is essential to the foundation of the First Amendment that that kind of speech be legally protected in most cases. Now, the second point that seems to contradict the first is that anti-Semitism has had a long and sordid and violent history, and in many cases, it is not constitutionally protected speech. And I get into some of this in more detail in the newsletter version, but basically it boils down to a couple of things. First of all, if unpopular speech is not protected, then no speech is protected. Popular speech doesn't need protection. It's unpopular speech that needs protected. And if we don't protect unpopular speech, then no speech will be protected. But at the same time, if you read the text of the First Amendment to the Constitution, and I've linked to it in the newsletter, there is a word peaceably in there that is very essential and actionable for this. It says, Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people peaceably to assemble. And so there is all sorts of legal analysis about where to draw that line. But our takeaway from an analysis perspective today is that there is much of these protests, many components, many aspects of the nature of these protests that are not permitted under the Constitution, and that university administrators are permitted and even obligated to take action to ensure the safety of those who are under their charge. So you can find more on those two points in the Equipped, in the newsletter version of the Equipped. But I want to zoom back out, and I want us to talk about, in the last couple of minutes of this segment, what does this mean for you and me as Jesus followers? How are we to apply these principles in an eternally redemptive way? Most of us don't live or even work on a college campus. Some of us do, but most of us don't. But it is likely that we are interacting with people who hold very divergent views on these issues. And I think there are three scriptural principles that we can apply in these. And they, like so many things we talk about here at The Equipped, they have some tension with each other, but I think they can be held in balance with one another. Number one, we should treat every person as someone who is made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. Number two, we should listen first and carefully, and we should always respond in love. I would point you to James 1:19 and John 13:34 through 35. And number three, we should defend the afflicted and the oppressed. And on that last point, we have had a regular conversation here at The Equipped that the Jewish people have a special covenant with God, and they have faced uniquely intense persecution over the ages. And when that oppression rears its head in our day, we as Jesus followers should have the moral clarity to stand against it. But we can do that through the lens of viewing everyone as being made in the image of God and by working to truly understand their arguments. And if we do that, our response and our defense, if required, can be impactful rather than escalatory in nature. Hi, Faith Radio family. Than Bennett here with a special invitation for you. So much in our world today is screaming for us to be consumed by fear and division and brokenness. But the promise of the gospel means that our foundation is secure. We should live not from a place of fear, but instead our lives should be marked with power and with love and with sound minds. And so every week I'm sending out the Equipped newsletter. Every issue opens with truth from God's Word. From that vantage point of truth, we look at a handful of current events in our world. We do it not to simply consume information, but we do it looking for opportunities for the gospel of Jesus Christ to inject love and healing and redemption into those who need it. We close every issue with a simple reminder of something that is beautiful in our world. I want to invite you to join our community. You can sign up at theequippednewsletter.com. That'll trigger an email back to you. Just click to confirm. Again, it's theequippednewsletter.com. I'll see you there. Nearly $100 billion of foreign aid is on its way to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan after a very long and contentious debate in the United States Congress. The United States Senate had passed $95 billion of aid for the three countries a couple of months back, but the United States House had been at a stalemate over whether or not to include domestic border security as part of the legislative package. It was a very long and contentious debate. It was one that involved a motion to vacate being filed but not moved by members of the House Republican Conference against Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. Ultimately, the Speaker decided to put the aid on the floor of the United States House. He did it in sort of a unique way. We talked about this last week on the Equip, but he put the issues on the floor in a way that they would be debated and voted on separately, but then they would be combined and sent back to the United States Senate as a single package. And so when they did that, ultimately it passed by an overwhelming margin in the House of Representatives and then got 80% support in the United States Senate. And so I think what it demonstrated is that the underlying support for this aid was actually pretty convincing in both chambers of Congress, but there was intense difference over what order to sequence it in and whether or not there should be something more substantive done about the crisis at the southern border before that aid was approved. That is a disagreement that has still not been resolved, but the foreign aid has moved, and it will soon be on its way to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. I think this is one of those issues that we as Jesus followers just need to acknowledge, that the wide array of competing circumstances is going to dictate a wide array of viewpoints on the issue, even among people that we're sort of used to aligning with from both a political worldview and also a spiritual worldview. If you think about it, you've got an invading dictator in Putin. You've got a designated terrorist organization in Hamas, which is also backed by Iran, and you've got runaway and persistent budget deficits in the United States. And those are just a few of the top line circumstances. When you combine all of those together, it makes for all sorts of splinter positions along views about whether aid should be given, how much aid should be given, what type of aid should be given, where it should be prioritized, etc. And so it is going to be one of the most divisive issues in our culture going forward, and it's just something that we need to be aware of. I think we as Jesus followers, no matter where you fall on those issues and on those questions of this particular debate, I think we can agree on three things when we find these things directly from Scripture. Number one, everything belongs to God, Deuteronomy 10:14. Number two, to whom much is given, which the United States of America would clearly meet that definition, to whom much is given, much is required, Luke 12:48. And number three, our hearts will follow the direction we aim our treasure, Matthew 6:21. I think this is true collectively as a nation. I think it's also true individually as individual followers of Jesus. Is our treasure laid up in heaven, or is it laid up in lesser things like political allies or even policy preferences or political parties? Let's lay our treasure up in heaven in a way that our heart will also follow in that direction. Finally, and very practically, let's be very intentional this week about praying for those who are suffering in the Middle East, in Russia, and Ukraine. Let's also pray for wisdom for our leaders and for ourselves as we together participate and as we steward the gift of self-governance. For the first time in history, an impeachment trial against a cabinet official was actually taken up by the United States Senate. There had been one prior cabinet official who was impeached and resigned before a trial could take place in the Senate, but this was the first time that a cabinet official had faced an impeachment trial in the United States Senate. It was the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. However, normally, and you probably know this from recent impeachment trials that we have seen against former President Donald Trump, normally when an impeachment reaches the Senate, there is a full-blown trial that takes place and arguments are made from both sides. This is a little bit unusual, not a little bit unusual, it is a direct break from impeachment norm. The charges in this case were actually dismissed by the United States Senate before any arguments were made. The articles were presented to the United States Senate and read into the record, and then Senate Democrats moved to, quote, dismiss the charges, and the two charges were dismissed by a vote of 51 to 48 and a vote of 51 to 49. The two charges had been a willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law, immigration law in this case, and number two, a breach of trust. Democrats had asserted and argued previously, mostly through the press, that the underlying charges were unconstitutional, and Republicans had responded in the press that dismissing the charges without a trial would be unconstitutional. But that is ultimately what happened, and so Secretary Mayorkas remains in his post. Once again, this is a story that has a ton of political noise around it, a ton of division, a ton of perspectives that are 100 degrees opposite, that are very polarized and really with very little room for common ground. But here, there are a couple things that we do know and that we should be very clear about, regardless of our partisan affiliation. Number one, the President of the United States, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and the United States Congress all have a role to play, somewhat separate roles, but also overlapping, a role to play in ensuring that we have national security, in setting immigration policy, and enforcing the duly enacted laws of the United States. And I think there is wide consensus that all three of those things are in a little bit of disarray. We've got a national security threat at our southern border. Immigration law and policy is in a very chaotic state. And there seems to be an inclination on many, I would say both sides of the aisle, of selectively prioritizing parts of U.S. immigration law. And so what are we as Jesus followers to do with that very bleak assessment? I want to encourage us as we engage the substance of the matter, as we should do, but let's do it fixing our eyes on the source of our true help. And I would encourage you to read Psalm 121, especially verses 1 and 2 as you think about it. I'll read it for you in just a moment. But it's very easy to focus on the shortcomings of our political opponents. It's very easy pickings in this situation too, because there's lots of blame to go around. There is lots of hard work that needs to be done in this space, but if we're going to be productive, we need to approach it from a posture of dependence on God and with an aim at common flourishing. The current debate on this issue is markedly void of those characteristics, and I really believe that that is one of the reasons that it is yielding very little forward progress. So let's focus our attention on the source of our true help, and let me close with Psalm 121, 1 and 2. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As we close our time together with the beautiful and by turning our eyes to something that is beautiful in our world, you really can't get the full impact of this unless you are also taking in the image that was provided by my wife, Brooke, in the newsletter version. You can find it at theequippednewsletter.com. This week, it is an image of a tree and a number of vines that have entangled themselves together. And I was just struck as I took in this image about how our world is so full of entanglements, and we are all clinging tightly to something. But if you take a look at this image, some of these things are things that are going to pass away very quickly. It is very evident. There are vines wound tightly together, and they are all going to fall together. The only things that are going to last are the things that are bound tightly to the tree. The analogy for us is very clear. Hold tightly to those things that are eternal and that will not pass away, so that when all that will pass away falls, you will remain. I'm Than Bennett. This is The Equipped, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to this conversation from The Equipped. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and share it with friends so together we can stay informed and be equipped to serve.